And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
What's good, everybody? NHL Fantasy on Ice from Florida here at Fort Lauderdale Beach Park for NHL All-Star Weekend, NHL All-Star Beach Festival. Fantasy on Ice, of course, delivered by our good friends over at Skip. Nick, man, what a blast to be out here in the beautiful weather, having fun in the sun, buddy.
Yeah, we made it. Great to be here. Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Look who it is. It's Anna Dula. What's up, Anna?
I'm so excited to be here in person right next to you, Nick. So you got to take the bullying easy, otherwise we might bring a little bit of a fist fight over here.
Exactly. Pete, what's up with you?
So the Florida Panthers hosting this great event. The skills competition is going to be on Friday, and then, of course, the All-Star game itself, 3 p.m. on ESPN, right? It's going to be a blast over the weekend on Saturday for the All-Star game. And for the Florida Panthers, this is a big showcase for them as a market, as a franchise, right? They're on the cusp of the playoffs again this year. We'll see if they end up making it. They're putting their best foot forward here in the month of January. I know we're into early February, but with Matthew Tkachuk, the big offseason trade, Nick, right? Alexander Barkov also added as a replacement for Austin Matthews, who's injured. The Panthers are here to showcase what they got going on.
Definitely, and I think on the way here, I checked out an establishment in Elbow Room. Always a good spot in these parts here in Fort Lauderdale, Los Olas, in the area. And for anybody who hasn't been here, just a tremendous time, a different type of vibe than like traditional hockey market. But
yeah,
I can't picture a better scene than being on the beach and talking about hockey. I don't know if you can, Anna.
Guys, I'm having the best time of my entire life right now, okay? This is just amazing. There's a polar vortex happening where we're from in New York, and we're sitting here on the beach looking at these palm trees, looking at these fans walk by. There's basketball. There's all sorts of games, and we're talking about the NHL. This is literally what dreams are made of.
Definitely, and we got a hot playoff race in the Eastern Conference involving the Florida Panthers, involving the Buffalo Sabres. Of course, the Sabres got some unfortunate injury news yesterday where Nick Tage Thompson's not going to be coming to All-Star Weekend. Left the game yesterday against the Canes, another great team in the East. But Thompson's not here. Rasmus Dahlin, I'm happy that he's going to be here. I will miss Tage Thompson because he's been one of the best stories in the entire league this year. But Dahlin's one of the best defensemen in the league. He deserves to be here.
Yeah,
no doubt.
It really is unfortunate, though, I think, when you look at Tage Thompson. Among the players I was looking forward to seeing the most was Thompson just because of his arrival and the fact that I called him a fraud last summer, too. So that works into the narrative as well. But clearly I was wrong. The Buffalo Sabres have been an incredible story. But you look at Rasmus Dahlin specifically, just the emergence, how long we've been waiting for this, and now like he's arrived where he's like in the Norris conversation, Anna.
He absolutely is up there with Erik Karlsson too, so two big surprises. But I mean, I think I might have heard Pete crying a little bit in our hotel right now about the fact that Tage wasn't coming down to All-Star, but he got excited that Dahlin's going to be down here, and I'm excited to see him. He deserves to be here, guys, let's be honest. He deserves to be here, leading defenseman up there among all skaters in so many categories this year.
So, guys, since we last talked, how about that big trade the other day, right? Bo Horvat going to the New York Islanders. Kind of a wacky time for it. And it comes from Lou Lamoriello, who we've been clamoring about, like, make a move, right? Nick's been saying it.
Yeah.
Producer Bobby's been saying it. Waiver wire James, myself. We thought they were going to get a wing, maybe like a Tarasenko or a Kane, right? Or a Timo Meier. But they go and get another center, Nick. A bit peculiar. It's going to help the offense, going to help the power play, but what are your thoughts on the move?
All I can say for any fantasy owners listening right now, and you all are, I hope you traded Bo Horvat last week. With all due respect to the New York Islanders, I just think he's reached peak fantasy potential for the season. I like the move going to the Islanders. If anything, he'll boost that team, and I think it comes full circle as well with like Lou Lamoriello trading the 10th overall pick for Corey Schneider all those years ago, New Jersey to Vancouver, and that pick was Bo Horvat.
Right.
But I think from a fantasy point of view, Anna, there's just so much more in terms of offense and depth in Vancouver and guys you can play with as opposed to the top six with the Islanders.
Yeah, absolutely, especially on the wing, which is important because the Islanders do have center depth, but now someone's going to shift over to the wing, probably going to be Matt Barzal, who's a very natural-born center. But before I get into Bo Horvat, I got to say, Pete, you can't encourage Nick with this make-a-trade nonsense on Twitter. If I see that tweet...
T-shirt's coming soon.
If I see that tweet one more time, I'm going to jump into the ocean that's in front of us right there, literally. But, yeah, I think the Islanders will get a little bit of boost, specifically on the power play. Bo Horvat, top 10 in the NHL right now in power play goals, and the Islanders have the second worst power play in the entire league, so that's good for them. But to be honest, still not high on the Islanders. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, even with Bo Horvat, so I agree with Nick. You should have traded Bo Horvat last week.
And Bo Horvat's shooting percentage is like 21. I think it's second best in the entire NHL among high-volume shooters behind Mark Scheifele. So Scheifele's staying in a great spot. Horvat's going to a worse spot in a way offensively. Like, the Vancouver Canucks had a great offense. They were a top 10 offense, Nick. So I agree with what you're saying that the landscape is changing for him. But again, who do you think he's going to play with? You think he's going to play with Barzal and Palmieri? You think he's going to play maybe, you know, center on the good line with Anders Lee and Brock Nelson? Who do you think's shifting around here to make room?
If I were the coach, and clearly I'm not Lane Lambert, and clearly I'm not very beloved on Long Island, but nonetheless, I would go Barzal, Horvat up the middle, man. Like, I don't think Matthew Barzal gets enough credit for how good a player he truly is, and this season really has carried the Islanders to an extent. I just think he needs some wingers around him, but in this day and age of the NHL, nobody's really a winger. Nobody's really a center anymore. I mean, JT Miller, how often do we talk about that in the preseason, Pete? This guy's a center, this guy's a center, and he can't play center, can he?
Well, Bo Horvat, Anna, and you know, you played hockey, how important faceoffs are and things like that, faceoff volume, when you got a really strong guy in doing that, he's going to take so much pressure off of the likes of Barzal and Nelson. Pageau's in his element in the bottom six. But again, who has better center depth in the entire NHL than the New York Islanders? So that's something. Yeah. And also maybe who has a better goalie in the entire NHL than the Islanders with Ilya Sorokin? Yeah. So that's a pretty good combination to have. Maybe the Islanders, if you're playing devil's advocate, are not quite done just yet after this move.
I mean, I like that you gave out a shout-out to face-offs right now. I think they're kind of overlooked when we're talking about various hockey stats. I was a face-off specialist myself back in the day. You know, did well on both sides of the ice, not trying to flex or anything. But Bo Horvat is definitely going to help the Isles in that situation. And I did say before this season that Ilya Sorokin is in the conversation to be the best goalie in the NHL for me. He was right up there with Shesterkin and Vasilevsky. And I think this season, despite the situation the Islanders are in, Sorokin has kind of proven to be the most consistent goalie out of that trio. So they have a great goalie, great center depth, but still, I don't think they can compete against teams like Washington, against Pittsburgh, or even the Buffalo Sabres.
All right, folks, it's time for the feature presentation. None other from FloridaPanthers.com, team reporter, team everything, my man, Jameson Olive. What's up, buddy?
It's going great. How are you guys doing? This is a great setup. You guys are about, what, 100 yards from the beach? Are you guys going in after this?
Possible. I can tell you I will be at Elbow Room at some point in time over the next 2.5 hours. Great to see you, my dude. Just give us a scene setter, the excitement building the last couple months here.
Oh, it's been huge ever since they announced it. Obviously, the Panthers got to host the draft back in 2015, and ever since then, we've been itching to get the NHL back here. Obviously, this is just a huge event area, South Florida. We always have Super Bowls here. We have big events. We have, you know, races, all this crazy stuff. So to get the NHL here is just so big. And I know the guys love it. The guys are having a great time. The players love coming down here, obviously. I think half the guys that are here for NHL All-Star probably already going to vacation down here anyway. So this is two birds with one stone for a lot of guys. But this is just so great, and I know all of South Florida is just so excited to host not just the All-Star game, but all of All-Star week.
You guys have hosted plenty of meaningful playoff games the past few years. Really an up-and-coming franchise within the larger scope of the National Hockey League. So what does it mean to you to have such meaningful games, having been working for the team for almost a decade now? You know, you've been through the rigors. Mm-hmm. You've had a lot of fun along the way. Now to be able to enjoy this scene with your coworkers and family and friends, what does it mean?
Oh, it's so great. And just because also, like you said, I've been here, you know, about a decade. So I've been through a couple rebuilds. Mm-hmm. I've been to a couple, you know, little playoff pushes here and there. But just the consistent success this team has had the last couple of years has just been so great for everyone involved. And just, you know, for the community. I mean, you guys can look around. I'm sure you've seen some jerseys walk by. Yeah, you're seeing some Barkovs and Kachucks, but you're also I've seen a couple of Ryan Lomberg shirts today.
Love that.
I saw an Etulu Starinen shirt earlier. So, like, nice. Once the community starts really, you know, attaching themselves to those lesser known guys, that's when you know you're really permeating the market and fans are really getting behind you. So for the Panthers, you know, just to be so consistently, you know, good this year, to play consistently exciting hockey. I mean, I know a slower start to the season this year, but recently really strong, and just to go into the break like they did with that wild comeback overtime win against the Bruins, I know that got the whole area fired up and just ready for All-Star.
Shows they could play with anybody, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, they beat the Bruins twice this year. No one else has done that. That's big.
Wow. True.
Lots of excitement about the whole team, but I'm going to be the first to address the Kachuk in the room. Just talking about that huge, huge trade. What was the reaction in South Florida when it happened?
So I also do the team's website. So for me, I obviously I found out a little bit earlier because I got to get it ready on web. I got to get it ready to go for the release. Yeah. So, you know, just sitting there, I think it was a Saturday. It was a Saturday.
Friday night.
So yeah. It was the weekend. So I remember I was at home just sitting on the couch relaxing, you know, and I got, you know, be ready. You don't get the rest yet. You just get the ready, and then you're like, something's happening. And then once you get a little bit closer, then you get the details, then you get the actual press release in your hands, and you start to build it out. And I'll just remember, because that went out late. I was probably about an hour before it went out. I had it ready to go, and you're just sitting there, and you're just looking at like the two production button, and you're like, I'm so afraid to just accidentally hit this or something, because you know that's just going to turn the world upside down. Because like you said, not only because of how big the news was, but the fact it was coming out of nowhere. It was a Friday night, and just... We've never seen something like that, at least since I've been around in a long time. Maybe Taylor Hall, Adam Larson, one for one, got a lot of buzz, but nothing like this.
No. Not 200
like this,
points.
This was a beyond wild NHL trade, and of course for the Panthers, it's just worked out so well. Matt Tkachuk, top 10 in the league in scoring, an all-star right now, and just so great with the fans. I mean, I was just over with him at the autograph tent. He was signing for about an hour and a half.
Yeah,
I'm just amazed how quickly every fan has gotten a Tkachuk jersey already. Like we must be cranking them out at the team shop, because I see so many of those already, which is great. Not just that, the retro jersey. And for our super fans, they already have the basic Tkachuk jersey, they got the retro jersey, and now they got the all-star jersey.
Wow.
So a lot of money is being spent on Tkachuk jerseys down here in South Florida. The economy's booming.
And we expect that, obviously, with his arrival in the town. He's like the best shift disturber in the NHL. But you have a unique story, and I'd love for you to tell it on air, because I think it's so cool and just talks about the love of the game and the spread of the game. Did you meet your wife on the job?
Yes.
So what is that like to work with your wife and
this
cover
is being
an
broadcast,
amazing...
right? Hopefully she's not too close.
Yeah,
to
yeah, no, but that's I think that's so cool. Like it just shows you how big the game is of hockey and how it unites people.
Yeah,
right?
No, I was working for Fox Sports Florida at the time, now Bally Sports Florida, which is our local RSN. This was about 2 years before I started working full time for the Panthers, and I just met her her first day on the job. She was working in social media. Now she's the head of PR. That was about a decade ago, and you meet it all the time, and you talk to people all the time that work not just in hockey but professional sports. You usually meet people in kind of the same bubble, because you spend so much of your life in that bubble. I mean, right now for us, typically this would be like our one kind of 2-3 days off of the season, but we're here, we're hosting All-Star. We're not going to have time to, you know, venture out into the world for probably till the end of the season.
Sure, yeah.
So, I mean, you just meet so many people, not just, you know, my wife, which is, of course, the biggest bonus of all, but all my best friends I meet through the team. And
we
I
saw
time
Dougie
with.
Plagans
Doug
before.
Plagans.
What a unit.
He was a groomsman at my wedding, so our Panthers radio play-by-play. Doug Plagans was one of my groomsmen. He actually kind of MC'd it, too, because,
awesome.
I mean, that's what he does.
Yeah.
So we just gave him the mic. He did, like, the intro for when we came out after the wedding. He did. Like, we actually announced healthy scratches at the wedding.
So cool.
So that was people that RSVP'd know scratches.
Good. That's amazing.
So a couple people got put on trial there. But no, it was great. And like, I mean, you guys even know it on the media side of things. I mean, this is just such a tight family, especially in the NHL.
So, Jameson, of course, you host Territory Talk.
Yep.
Everybody should check it out, whether you're
two
Panthers
former guests
fan
here on
or
the
not.
Alumnus.
Yeah, we come on, now we're returning the favor. But we want to know about the fantasy side of things, and a big focus on the Panthers lately has been the goalie situation with injuries to Bobrovsky, Spencer Knight, Alex Lyon, holding down the fort really nicely with some big victories. He really only had that one bad game. He's been
on that last game against the Bruins, 19 high danger saves. It's 19 for 20. Wow.
Yeah, so how much does the team trust him, and are there any updates on Bob or Spencer Knight?
I think at this point you trust Alex Lyon. He's done a great job, like you said, especially that last start, and just every game he's played for the Panthers has been a must-win game, like to come in with that level of pressure. And of course he's been around, he's 30 years old, but he's only played, you know, about 30 games in the NHL, so that was a huge moment for him, and I know he's probably feeling pretty good having that be his last start heading to the break. But for the Panthers, the news around the goaltender Sergei Bobrovsky, Spencer, and of course been out here a little bit recently. We talked to Paul Maurice before that last game against the Bruins, and that was kind of maybe Bob's good to go for this game, but why rush it if we're about to have a week off? So given that that was the last thing we got, we all kind of expect Bob to be good to go pretty soon after All-Star, if not that first game against the Lightning after All-Star. Spencer Knight maybe a little bit longer than that, but regardless, it seems like the Panthers are going to have at least one of their two horses ready to go here for the second half. And for the Panthers, the second half schedule actually gets a lot easier. A lot more home games. I mean, 9 road games in January. For some reason, there was a road trip back for one, another road trip back for one. It was a weirdest schedule in January. So regardless, it's going to get easier on guys' bodies here for the second half, which it usually doesn't. So the goaltending situation, I know they're pretty confident there, especially with Bob playing so well heading into that injury. I think they expect the same right when he comes out of it.
So I'm heading up a little bit from the crease to the blue line, because for me, that's where I've been the most surprised by the Florida Panthers this season. So I want to ask you, we know that Tkachuk was going to have a good year, right? We know all of these stars that the Panthers have are stars, rightfully so. But who was your biggest surprise on this team this season?
So I think my surprise might be different from just like the broader surprise, because I still feel like there's so many people that maybe aren't fully tuned into what the Panthers are doing.
Yeah.
I know you guys know Gus Forsling. He's a fantasy stud. Impact player now. Yeah. He's a stud. Yeah. But we've known that for about 2 years now at this point. Maybe this is the year where now people are seeing him more as that top pairing guy, especially when Ekblad went out for a bit. People are really starting to appreciate him more. But I think for me, maybe the biggest surprise this year, just in terms of statistics, has got to be Brandon Montour. Brandon Montour, top 10 among NHL defensemen right now in scoring. We talked to him. I remember I had a conversation with him during training camp, and we were talking, you know, last year, you know, career high points, I think it was 36 or 37. Like, do you feel like you can do more? And he said, you know, I want more responsibility. I want to do more. And it just so happened, I think Ekblad got hurt the third game of the season then. You know, mm-hmm. you don't ever wish that on someone, but that became his window. And he ran with it. You know, he was a top pairing guy for about a month for the Panthers. And ever since then, not only is he playing, you know, 24, 25 minutes a night, he's on that top power play unit. So you're seeing a big spike in points from that. He had a crazy goal against that Bruins in transition, kind mm-hmm. of back of a stick blade tip there from Barkov. So he's a guy that, you know, I think for a long time, because let's not forget, he's, you know, in his later 20s now, past the mid-20s. Yeah. He's been around the league for a while. He's been a name. He played in Anaheim. He played in Buffalo. People know Brandon Montour. But I think a lot of people thought of him as, you know, maybe that guy's, you know, a 5'6", a 4'5", maybe even give you 30 points a year. He might have 60 points at the end of this mm-hmm. year, and that's not a fluke. So I think this was kind of Brandon Montour's big coming out year, and I know it's been a huge part of the Panthers' success.
The Panthers excite me a lot in the second half of this season, and a big reason why has been the head coach, Paul Maurice. Like, there's a lot of great people in this yep. game. You cover him on a daily basis. I have all the time in the world for Paul Maurice. Like, he's an absolute gem of a human being, isn't he?
Oh, 100%. I think especially he'll talk as long as you want to talk.
Yeah,
you know that.
It's awesome.
You kind of have to restrain yourself.
Yeah.
Sometimes, I mean, sometimes we'll be done talking, I'll look at my recorder, and it's 10 minutes. And I'm like, what happened? We were only talking about, like, the lineup tonight. Where'd we go? And he has an anecdote for everything. He's been in this league, you know, almost 30 years. He's got a story for everything. He knows everyone. And just, he's seen it all. There's rarely do we do something in a game, and afterwards you talk about it, and he's the first time I've ever seen that. So, for Paul Maurice, he's so great with the media, as you guys know. He's great with the players as well. And I think the thing that maybe really was the turning point for a lot of people when it came to, you know, him really kind of putting a stamp on this team was the referee situation in that Toronto game.
That was
fans
good.
Loved that. Everyone loved that. Sometimes you got to take the fine. He took the fine there, but I think that was just a huge investment, and just everyone was just so behind that. And honestly, ever since then, the Panthers, they got a little bit more swagger too.
Juice,
so
yeah.
Sometimes you got to do that. Sometimes you got to get in front of the camera and take the hit there.
So, Jameson, hockey's become a big fabric of this area now. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, the Lightning, their success
yep.
up north. But, you know, you guys are making your imprint down here. Coming here as a hockey fan, either as a visiting fan for someone coming during the regular season
yep.
or for me right now, like when I'm down here for a hockey event, what should I be doing? Should I be riding a jet ski? Should I be going to a specific restaurant? What are your favorites?
Well, I want to put you in harm's way, so I don't know. I don't know what your capabilities are out in the open ocean. But first two things, sunscreen, hydrate. Let's
yeah.
get that out of the way. I've already walked past some people today that I think are
good
making
advice.
That mistake. I've seen some burns out there.
Yeah.
So first and foremost that. Then you can have fun. Let's take care of yourself first. But I think when you come down here, obviously you got the beach. We're looking at it right now. And it's not just Fort Lauderdale Beach. You got Hollywood Beach. You got Dania Beach. You got Deerfield Beach, Boca. You can go all the way down to Miami if you want to make the drive. So mm-hmm. we got a lot of beaches here in South Florida, and they're all great. But I think if you come down here, say you come see the Cats for a weekend, you stay downtown, there's tons of good restaurants. I mean, you got Louis Bossi on Las Olas, Cafe Europa. You'll hear a lot of players talk about those two spots right there. My favorite is actually a place called Ann's Florist Coffee Bar. So okay. it's a full-time florist. But they've also got some pastries and coffee. But then at night, there's like a five kind of like little chair bar on the way back. And it's really nice. Smells great because you're obviously in a florist. But just wow. a really great vibe and setting. And I think if you come down here, if you've never been here before, you got to go to Elbow Room. Because that's just an institution.
Yeah, crazy like, spot. That is gritty.
Well, if you have people that have also been here before and know you went, they'll say, did you go to Elbow Room?
Yeah.
And that's a place. I mean, my parents have stories about Elbow Room.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's an institution. It's been the same for years.
Checked that off the list last night.
How'd it go? So
it was great.
Was
outdoor.
It everything, did it
fun.
Get built up too much, though?
No. Right. I only found out about it last night. And, you know, nice outdoor.
It's gritty
bar,
like Matthew Tkachuk. It's
yeah,
very
but
gritty.
Yeah, you have a couple of drinks. You walk out and mm-hmm. you walk across the street. Beach is right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything you need.
I love it.
I've been here 48 hours, not even, and I've heard the word elbow room
yeah.
at least 100 times, so I actually went with Pete as well. So.
And what was your thoughts?
It was good.
Did it encapsulate the kind of Fort Lauderdale, South Florida vibe?
I'm not going to lie to you. No one told me what Elbow Room was.
Yeah.
They weren't like, oh, this is a must-see like spot for blah, blah, blah. They were just like, Elbow Room. So yeah. I didn't even know what to expect. I felt like I was in like Miami Vice with the font that was outside. It felt like very 70s Florida. But you know what? It was a good time. And speaking of Florida, I have a question for you. So in markets like these, Have you seen any growth of kids playing hockey or mm-hmm. people getting interested in actually playing the sport? I know the Panthers have a learn to play yep. program, but like I lived in Virginia before the Capitals won the cup, and I told people I played hockey, and they were yeah. like, field hockey? And I was like, no, guys, ice hockey. Mm-hmm. And then the Caps won the cup. All of a sudden, there's hockey players coming yep. out of Virginia. So what about Florida?
Oh, it's getting bigger every year. And if you just look at our, like you said, our learn to play numbers get bigger and bigger every year. A lot of what we do down here, though, is so tough because, yeah, we have ice, but even then it's not, you know, the easiest thing to get to, and it's not, you know, the easiest thing to fit into your schedule. So we do so much not only with hockey, but with floorball is huge for us. I mean, we have floorball in pretty much every school down here. And we a lot of times throughout the year, our community team would go out, we bring one of our players there, we kind of get the kids excited that way. But if you're just walking around, I mean, look right now, there's a million kids in front of us in Panther shirts, jerseys, things like that. So it starts with the parents. So obviously, the parents are super fans, but all it takes is for these kids to get to one game. And they see Ryan Lomberg throw a hit and do a hair flip, and they're asking for a jersey, and they're excited. Or they see Kachuk chewing on his mouth guard
yeah.
and they ask mom to, you know, take me to the sports store. I want to get a mouth guard to chew on it. You know, yeah. this team. There we go,
you got
right
a
there.
Panthers fan. I like that. I'm looking forward to seeing.
I mean, the fans are answering the questions for you guys right now. when you look at what the, you know, what the Panthers are doing, the recent success is so huge. But also events like this. I think I've met a lot of Panther fans in my life that became fans when they went to the All-Star Game in 2003.
Yeah.
And I know mm-hmm. this event and all this down here is going to help create some new fans 20 years from now as well.
So I'm the biggest troll, you know that. I'd love to walk into this place with like a Uwe Krupp jersey, man. Just bring back memories.
You might run into him. You don't know.
That'd be amazing. Interview Uwe Krupp
or
and talk about
Camille
that.
Camille Krebs jersey, maybe. You get some luck
Kamensky.
With
that. Yeah. That was a series back in the day. Lastly for me, just your expectation of the weekend. Who are you looking forward to seeing? The skills competition is always phenomenal. Talked to Sasha. He's going to do the accuracy shooting mm-hmm. contest. It's going to be a lot of fun, though.
No, I'm excited to see, you know, what Chucky does in the skills comps. He's a showman, obviously. Barkey, I think, is just going to be straight surgical yeah. in the accuracy shooting. Yeah. I think he's going to try and win. But for me, I'm just excited to see, honestly, the game. I feel like the game's gotten better over the last couple of years. I feel like guys are giving it a little bit more. Guys want to win a bit more. And especially, I think the Buffalo Dallin's in right now, right? So the Atlantic
yes.
finally
yep.
has a defenseman.
There you go.
But regardless, I think Barkey's still going to kind of do what he did when he was in Tampa in 2018. Probably play a little defense. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't be shocked to see what he pulls out, something crazy.
Well, enjoy all the attention's going to be on South Florida mm-hmm. for this great weekend. We appreciate all the work you were doing, like what Anna was saying, mm-hmm. all the hard work that you and your colleagues do to grow the game in a non-traditional market. Much appreciated to all the hockey fans out there to grow the game. Thanks, Jameson Olive, for joining us, man.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you guys as well. This is a great setup.
Dennis Bernstein from the fourth period. What's going on, Denny?
Hey, I'd only come to see you guys first. I literally got off a plane at 11 o'clock after missing a flight and getting a flight canceled, flying a red eye through Cincinnati. But for you and Anna and Nick, no problem. Happy to always be on the podcast.
We appreciate it, man.
No problem.
The goat of goats, Dennis Bernstein here. So first and foremost, Encino, I've been up there All-Star yes. Weekend a couple years ago. How you doing? How does L.A. and Florida compare to each other in terms of hockey markets and the difference in comparables?
Well, one team's won two Stanley Cups. Okay. One hasn't.
All right.
I'd say, look. L.A. is so competitive, right? Dodgers, Rams, my Rams, you know, Lakers, Clippers. But there's a fervent hockey base in L.A. There always has been, right? They're not bandwagoners either. There's a solid core of fans that, you know, some of them went away when the team wasn't doing good, but now that they're in a playoff fight and they made the playoffs last year, it's a really, really good market. Not huge media market because there's a lot of pull for media coverage, but you know, when the building's full, it's still a great building to be in Los Angeles.
When you look at the scope of California hockey right now, there's no bigger storyline than Erik Karlsson. And yep. he's coming to All-Star Weekend. He's been here before. He's won the Norris before mm-hmm. twice in his career. Do you think he's a lock to win the Norris this year? Or do you see a glimmer on somebody else from a betting standpoint?
Okay, I think his trajectory is like Roman Josi was last year. Remember, Roman's going to win. He's going to break 100 points. He faded. Kale rightfully won. But if Erik gets to 100, Pete, he's winning it. I have a vote.
Exactly.
I'd vote for the guy. And Kale's great. Look, here's the thing. The best defenseman in the league is Cale Makar. The guy with the best season is Erik Karlsson. And you would think he's getting, you know, the cookie monster getting all those points on the power play. But you guys know, I think he's the number one point getter and even strength. So
crazy.
Right now, it's Erik's award to lose.
We're talking about the Norris Trophy right now. We're talking about all of these defensemen. What about the latest addition to the All-Star game, Rasmus Dahlin? What do you think about him in this conversation? Can he catch up maybe if the Sabres go on a huge stretch down the run?
And I think he's the runner-up. Yes, if they make the playoffs and he continues at this pace, Karlsson, you know, Karlsson, can he get through a season? not injured? That's another question. But right now, I got to think it's Carlson, it's Dahlin. And look, the great thing about Dahlin, he's going to win an award at some point. He's so young. It's great to see him emerge. But I think at this point, he's probably going to be beat the awards as a finalist. But I can't see him beating Erica unless something happens to Erica.
It's just nuts to me, like the emergence or the reemergence. So Brent Burns leaves, goes to Carolina. All of a sudden, Erik Karlsson's relevant again and past relevancy. Like that to me has been the biggest story of this fantasy season, Erik Karlsson being the top defenseman in fantasy hockey. So my question for you, hasn't been done in 30 years. Does he get to 100 points?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Because he's going to play 25 minutes a night. He's not going to get that. Injury is going to prevent him getting to 100. Other than that, he's in the flow of the offense. He's the old Erik Karlsson at this point. And that's why you hear the trade rumors. That's why Mike Greer said, yeah, we might be open to doing that. But how can you trade that contract? That's another story. But it's great to see him back because we love stars, especially on the blue line. It's just the intrigue to see Erik Karlsson the way he was at 25 and 26 now is just – it's great.
When we see, and we're talking about Pacific Division storylines, when we see a big trade of the magnitude of Bo Horvat going to the Islanders, we think about the fantasy spin. We also look at the betting implications.
Yeah.
What's the angle that you think maybe people can look at for the Islanders' standpoint? Is it Ilya Sorokin having a better chance to win the Vezina Trophy as a result of having more goal support in Bo Horvat? Is it the Islanders to make the playoffs in a jam-packed Eastern Conference race? What are you thinking about the betting implications of the Horvat trade?
I think the betting implications are you bet Vancouver under every game. They lost the 50-goal score.
Yeah.
Exactly. So the Islanders, I don't know, Pete, it depends on the value of betting the Islanders to make the playoffs. Like, I don't think Buffalo's hot.
Yeah.
And I think all these teams that are outside looking in, Buffalo, Florida, and the Islanders, they're targeting Washington, right? Because Pittsburgh has three games in hand. You're not going to assume they're going to win all three games. But I think at this point, I like the Islanders a month ago, and then they stopped scoring. Their last seven games, they haven't scored more than two goals, and I got off the wagon. I'm like, this team's not going to make it, given that Buffalo is just the opposite. They score goals left and right. So I think the implications for the Islanders, maybe you start betting them a little bit over in games, the goal totals with Bo Horvat. Depends where they place him. I assume they put him at the number one center. He's, second in winning faceoffs. You'd move Barzal to the left wing. So I'm still off the Islanders. I want to see how they operate with Bo. So let's talk in 2 weeks when they play five or six games, and you can see how their offense is generating and if they're winning with Bo Horvat.
We're talking about Eastern Conference teams making it into the playoffs. This is a bit out there, okay? Get ready. But
ready.
I live life on the edge.
Good.
The Ottawa Senators won four games in a row. Mm-hmm. The numbers are not in their favor, but that's good if you're putting something on the line there for the Senators. They're great in a lot of team stats. They have a top three power play in the entire NHL. Is it possible that they sneak in there? Would that be like the craziest bet you put this season?
It's a good value bet, Anna. That's what I would say. I can't see it because you have to jump over four teams to get there. I don't think they're good enough at this point. Is Talbot going to be healthy? Like, are they going to have enough goal? Their defense isn't there. And if they had Josh Norris, I'd give them a puncher's chance. Right now, it's a win. If they're in a conversation at the trade deadline, if they're in a conversation in the last 2 weeks of the season about the playoffs and not eliminated, that's a win for Ottawa. Right, because I wasn't one of those believers that they could make the playoffs this season. Just didn't see enough from this team, just not enough depth. So I think great conjecture on your behalf. I just don't think there's enough teams to climb over with 30-some-odd games left to make the postseason.
Yeah, two words that come to mind when I think of Ottawa: pretenders and frauds. I said this in the preseason. I maintain it. This is what they do. Like, there's teams, Dennis.
Well, go ahead.
No,
I'm
going to
give the other team is Buffalo. Every time Buffalo
frauds.
Gets right there.
Frauds.
They lose three in a row.
Yeah.
Like, they're hot. They look great. And when they win, they look great. But then last night, they came across a real good team that came from behind twice, 5-4, and won games. So, same thing. I agree. I think that they're teasing their fans, but I don't think they're playoff caliber teams as well.
Guys, I just want to say, when Nick uses the term fraud, it's like the movie Good Luck Chuck, because whoever he calls a fraud goes on and has a crazy year. He called Tage Thompson a fraud, and look at what Tage Thompson is
still
doing.
Is,
You know who else? He didn't call them frauds, but he did say fade the Kraken. So I want to ask you about the Seattle Kraken right now. Do you think they end the season on top of the Pacific?
You know, I thought that was the team that should have traded for Bo Horvat. You put him in the middle with that team. I don't know, Anna. I don't know. And if they get to the postseason, what are they? They have no history in the postseason. But the believers, you got to stop believing. At some point, you got to start believing, and I did. I was penciling them in for the playoffs. Now when I look at the rest of the West, I'm writing them in ink. I think they're in the top eight at this point because they're not going to lose a lot of games. They're solid defensively, and they score more goals than you think. Like, and this is a different team. They didn't have Jaden Schwartz last year. And when Turbo went out, Brendan Tanev, he was the key guy. He's a glue guy. Him and like they're a different team, a different attitude. He drags the team into the fight. So I like this team. I have no idea what they'll do in the playoffs. So it depends on the matchup. But, yeah, I like him, and I like him to be in the top eight in the West.
And when you look at the Coach of the Year market so far this year, it looks like it's going to be Montgomery. Yeah. But there is a we did just see the Boston Bruins lose three in a row, yes. Right? Like, they are human. They might taper off a little bit down the stretch and maybe even still run away with the President's Trophy. But is there anybody out there that could catch Montgomery in the Jack Adams race, whether it's Hackstall in Seattle, Granato in Buffalo? Yeah. There are a couple guys that if they make the playoffs, if they win the division, et cetera, you could see a storyline emerge.
Keep hope alive, Eastern Conference. The Bruins do lose games. They lose them in regulation. But when you looked at that schedule, Pete, it was Florida who's desperate, then Tampa and Carolina. You would have said they would have lost some games there.
Yeah.
I don't. If they're going to get to 128 or 130 points, how do you not give it to Monty? And the other guy would be Carolina, but, you know, he just won the award.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't see it. Don Granato, I think those guys will be finalists. But when you have a team playing at this level where you look at the standings and you see 800-point percentage, and you laugh, like, what is this team? How are they doing it? We know how they're doing it. But, yeah, Monty to come in. And I will say this, though. The one qualifier is he wasn't handed a bum team. He was handed a 107-point team. That's what they were last season. But Krejci coming back and Bergeron and those two guys at $3.5 million cap hit, they could even make a move at the deadline, but I don't really think they need the help.
So we have a David Satriano sighting on set here.
Yes.
I believe the tarps are optional, which I just found out here on location.
Yeah.
Some tarps are off here on the beach. I should have done the show that way. Satriano's got a shirt on, so he's here. The New Jersey Devils, are they frauds? Are they not? Is it Timo time, Timo Meier with the Devils?
If they get Timo Meier, look out.
Legit.
They are legit. And look, Vanacek is the key to that team. Like, if he's going to continue to play at this level, they're going to win games. Love Jack Hughes. Look at the way he's emerged. There's a lot of talent on that team. They are not a fraud. And if they go get Timo Meier, they could emerge from the East.
Listen, it's been too long in this conversation. We got a little sneak peek of the Carolina Hurricanes, but I'm on this podcast and we haven't talked about the Canes yet.
Good.
So I have to, because they're de facto team this season. So the Carolina Hurricanes are such a threatening team, I think. They win so many games. Mm-hmm. You can never count them out despite how down they are in any matchup. So I want to ask you a futures question.
Yeah.
Stanley Cup. The final thing, the trophy. Mm-hmm. Do you like Carolina as an option?
You asked the right guy. I picked them to win it all. They're my pick to win the Stanley Cup. It was them in Colorado. And I think Colorado can still get there if they get healthy. I love Carolina smothers you, right? And when they don't smother you, they score goals. Like, look at the San Jose game. Look at the LA game. You would think, okay, 4-1, down 4-1, they're not going to win this game. They're not that type of team. But, again, look, here's the guy, Ryan O'Reilly. That's the trade they should make. Because their number two center, like Vincent Trocheck, they really haven't. Kakanyemi isn't the guy. Jordan Staal's a great 3C. If they would go get Ryan O'Reilly or Jonathan Toews in 2C, then I really love them to win. But I like this team because they don't give up much. They're smart. Their goaltenders have to be healthy. That's the thing, Anna, because you know going into the playoffs, that's the one thing you're worried about, because everything else in this team, they're well-coached. They respond to their coach. He's a great motivator. I love this team. I'd like to see one more move and the goalie stay healthy. I believe they could beat Boston and win it all. And, you know, Boston-Carolina is going to be a seven-game series if they meet, without question.
So absolutely. I, too, like the Canes to win the Cup. It was Calgary and Carolina in my Cup final. My only question is, does it concern you their goaltender is allergic to the crease in the Stanley Cup playoffs? Freddie Anderson. Doesn't like playing
playoff
games.
That's the weak link. And if he's not allergic to it, he might get hurt. And then Rondé can't trade. That's the threat, the health of the goaltenders. I think they're good enough because they don't give up a lot. So I think Freddie can be good enough on this team to win games. But yeah, if it's a game seven, it's Ullmark versus Freddie, that's not an advantage for Carolina. So it's going to be interesting to see. But I think for Freddie, it's just his health. I think when he's healthy, he's good enough, and especially with this team, to go all the way.
He hasn't lost since coming back a couple weeks ago, Freddie Anderson. So he gives them an even higher gear to reach. Denny, you always reach that high gear, buddy. Thank you so much for joining us today here at Beach Fest. It's really great to see you, man.
Pete, Anna, Nick, always great being with you on the podcast. Appreciate the time.
All right, Pete, let's get to some listener questions. It's always hot and heavy over at Instagram.
Yeah, and we're talking a lot about the stash market right now. Obviously, you can stash Mark Stone. You don't know what's going on with his injury situation. He's just out indefinitely after having back surgery, so that's really unfortunate. A couple guys we could stash. Right, Anthony Duclair, really big impact when he comes back. Anna, also Jake DeBrusk. You were talking about Trevor Moore. He's been out for a little while, right? What do you think about adding some of those guys maybe to replace Mark Stone?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of them are expected to come back right after All-Star, too. So Anthony Duclair at the top of my list right now. I've said it before. 30-goal scorer. Can't take that lightly in this league, and I think he's proven himself. He's on a solid team, so he would be my number one. Trevor Moore, I actually think, is the most underrated one. We don't talk about him a lot, but shots coverage, insane from Trevor Moore for the Kings this year.
My big stash right now, believe it or not, again, because I love trades, but contract year, Ryan O'Reilly, the captain of the St. Louis Blues. You're
nice
telling
one.
Me he's not going to be uplifted by a trade somewhere? I think it's happening. I think if you read in between the lines, it just doesn't make sense financially. Stranger things have happened, so I'm forecasting a return for O'Reilly, first and foremost, from the injury, but number two, a trade, and it ups his trade value.
And speaking of potential trades and also stashes, Thatcher Demko.
I like it.
Hopefully he comes back at some point down the stretch. You don't know what his value is going to be like in Vancouver, but there have been some rumblings that they could trade him in addition to maybe Brock Besser, or they, of course, already traded Bo Horvat. If Thatcher Demko could go to, I don't know, a team like Buffalo, a team that needs goaltending, you could be talking here, right?
Yeah, everybody and their mother seems to be available in Vancouver with respect to maybe even like Elias Pettersson or Quinn Hughes in the back end. But certainly I think it's quite clear they're trying to clear cap space. You know, there's been rumblings, as you mentioned, does Demko want to be there long term? To me, Anna, like a team like in California makes a lot of sense. L.A., Anaheim, how completely happy are they with a guy like John Gibson right now? It's just tough to trade a goalie in season. So again, very similar to what I said with Carlson, I think this is more of a likelier move if it does happen around either the draft, which, as we know, the first round seems stacked, or just in the offseason in general, Anna.
Okay, I like that you brought up Anaheim because I think Anaheim is a bit underrated when we're talking about trades and in-season moves, just because I know this team is at the bottom of the standings, but they're honestly right on the verge of going on a run anytime soon. They have young assets. They have a couple injuries this year that have sidelined them a bit, but we saw them have that upset win against Colorado recently, so this is a team that can produce when it needs to produce, and they have so much young talent. So if Thatcher Demko goes to Anaheim, I said like a while back, way, way while back, that like almost in the preseason, that if Erik Karlsson moves, he might go to Anaheim, because when we're taking a look at the Anaheim Ducks, they just need a few key pieces to actually have a pretty solid team.
And when you look at the LA Kings too, like they can't feel completely comfortable right now. They could use help on defense. They could use help in the crease. Phoenix Copley's been amazing based on how low our expectations were for him, but are you really going to be going to bat with him? And you need some more support on the back end. So whether it's Jacob Chychrun, maybe it's a trade for Thatcher Demko. I feel like the Kings are the only competitive team in California right now, because the Sharks and the Ducks are lottery teams, or at least they're trending in that direction. So the Kings are the team that I'm keeping an eye on. Maybe they could make it work with Demko or somebody else, but they need an upgrade there.
Yeah, they've been linked to Jacob Chychrun for like years now. And I think until they get a conclusion one way or another ahead of the deadline, I think that's the first place they're looking at. Because you can say all you will, but when you have Quick, when you have Peterson, when you have Copley, like they just can't hold any more money or weight in between the crease, or in between the pipes, I should say. So I think if they're going to address something, and it's going to be the blue line in L.A.
I agree. And, I mean, everyone's been linked to Jacob Chychrun, though, at this point.
True.
I can't think
Senators,
of a single team that hasn't. So it's going to be a bit of a race to get him, whoever decides to. I feel like everyone has their hat in the ring right now.
We actually got a couple of fan questions pertaining to the impact of the Horvat trade. Who takes the left wing line one position for the Islanders? Are they worth picking up? I mean, Anders Lee's already virtually rostered in most formats. Kyle Palmieri, I looked, he's one of the most added players in fantasy right now, has been racking up some assists. It's not a player I love, but it's, again, if he ends up in the left, he might be the guy that ends up in the top line left wing spot next to, say, Horvat and Barzal.
Yeah, and that's where you're looking for value. Obviously, it's tough to see the Wahlstrom news. Sounds like he's finito for the season, which is tough when you consider the Islanders are still in the bubble to make the Stanley Cup playoffs. But yeah, like that's the curious thing for me, is just the timing of this move. And it's not hard to be fired up post, you know, All-Star weekend leading into March 3rd and the trade deadline. But like, how does that fit on Long Island with Bo Horvat, with Barzal, with Lee? Love Brock Nelson this season. Dobson's been banged up as of late. Does this ignite the Islanders, or do they just pretty much stay status quo, is my question.
Love and light to Long Island. I know there's a lot of Long Island influence on this podcast, but guys, I just can't get behind this team, even with Bo Horvat. For fantasy value for me, it's on the power play one, because I think that's where Bo Horvat's going to elevate everyone. That's just been abysmal this year. That's the only way I can describe it. And I've said before, he's top 10 in power play goals in the entire NHL. If he can bring any of that momentum to Long Island, I think that's the only beneficiary that's clear in my eyes, because in my eyes, Horvat's value, fantasy value, diminished so much with his trade.
He's still, Horvat is their top-ranked skater. Of course, Sorokin's their top-ranked overall player in our fantasy rankings. So it's Sorokin, then Horvat. Then you start to get down to the Barzells and the Dobsons and the Nelsons. And this next question, someone's asking, should I keep Nelson and Horvat? So it would be a stack of two Islander players. I don't know if I could get behind that. I would keep Horvat and maybe try to shop Nelson on the trade market in fantasy.
Yeah, Nelson's just tough because it hasn't been the same like the last month, albeit the last little while he started to cook again. I love to say that word, cook. But it's one of those things where it's like I would take a wait-and-see approach first and foremost, see how it works out here with Bo Horvat, how it complements others in that lineup, and then react. I just don't know as a fantasy owner if you're in a position to react this quickly and not knowing what's going to happen here with Horvat.
There's just better teams to stack right now, guys.
Yeah.
Carolina,
better, yeah.
New Jersey, Buffalo, even teams that aren't in playoff spots right now. So the last thing I'm going to be doing is stacking the Islanders.
It's wow. Probably one of the five teams that you would be least likely to stack.
Sure.
Not to be too harsh.
I agree.
We know the trade makes them better from a future standpoint to make the playoffs. No question about it. One other recent move, a signing that caught me by surprise to an extent. The Canucks re-signed Kuzmenko for two more years. Someone was asking, what's his keeper league outlook? Playing for a team in Vancouver with a strong offense, but the direction of the team is kind of murky right now.
So I won't call him Panarin, but man, he's got a lot of the same tendencies in terms of the way Panarin looked in his first year, his flash and dash, his knack for the net. Like, it just, some of the goals he scores, you're like, holy smokes, this
kid. I like
kid.
His hair. He's got like a big
exactly,
afro. Exactly,
very
right?
Panarin. Like, it just, and maybe that's a tough comparison. Obviously, they're going to shed some players on that team. I think it sounds like Brock Besser could be next from everything we've been hearing the last little while. They're still going to have JT Miller in the mix for the next, you know, six, seven years. Still have Quinn Hughes. I just wonder with Rick Tocchet, who's more of a defensive-minded guy. Now, this is his first opportunity, true opportunity to be a head coach for a team that's got a bit more offensively than he'd had maybe in the desert. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious in that respect, but I do think Kuzmenko, especially when you trade these guys out, he's going to be a top six fixture for many years there, at least the next couple.
For sure. He's a player that I'm very high on, and I think I've been high on him pretty much the entire time he's been in the NHL. He's just so talented. He's a great goal scorer. Nick mentioned it. It's actually unreal, some of these goals that he's scoring. And these guys who come over to the NHL from Russia, they come over with a different level of playing ability, and they translate into this league so easily. So I think he has a pretty high ceiling.
And Nick, wanted to get your thoughts on the two guys going the other way in the Horvat deal.
Yeah.
Atu Ratu, maybe we'll start in the AHL, but has some firepower in terms of goal scoring that we've seen through the years. And Beauvillier. Like, Beauvillier is a sneaky pickup right now. You could pick him up. He could end up with Pettersson, and he could have, like, 10-plus goals for you down the stretch. I could see it.
Yeah, it reminds me, to an extent, he didn't do as much winning, but, like, when they picked up Tanner Pearson, like, just the added value in that respect. And, obviously, I think there's a higher offensive upside with a guy like Beauvillier. And this could be a classic example of a trade that just works out for both sides, right? Like, we've seen that before, too. I know people are giving me heat on Twitter saying I can't run to conclusions on who wins a trade. And I referenced the O'Reilly trade, and Blues fans came back with, yeah, we won the Cup. But, yeah, there's a guy named Tage Thompson. Next 15 years is going to be a bona fide stud. So I do believe in winning both sides of the spectrum. I think with Beauvillier, that's just a prime answer example of a guy who just needed a change of scenery. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you put him in a new system with new players. I think there's opportunity there. I'm very curious of that file.
For me, Beauvillier is the least important part of this trade. I've been talking about it all day. The prospect, the Finnish kid, Ratu, I think is going to be the deciding factor. Just because he impressed me at the World Juniors with Finland. He hasn't played much in the NHL. When he does get the chance to play, I'm excited to see what he does.
With none other than the captain of the Florida Panthers, the star of the show, Alexander Barkov. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So what's it like playing your whole career here? Of course, it's like a non-traditional hockey market down here, but it's a pretty cool place to play and live, I would imagine, right? What's it like hosting the All-Star break this week?
Yeah, like I've said earlier, I'm really fortunate that I'm I get to play hockey in this kind of area. Yeah. I know I'm from Finland, so it's really cold there during the winters, and I wasn't really used to my first year to come here and not having any snow during the winter, but ever since, like, I'm just enjoying every second of living here and at the same time playing hockey here.
So the Panthers have just become a stronger and stronger team throughout your time with the team. How have you seen hockey grow in South Florida from when you first came here?
I would say everything. Hockey team, organization, like hockey community, everything is growing all together since I came here. Probably even before I got here, it started growing. So it's a lot of fun to see and be a part of. So I'm really, really happy about that and really proud and really excited about the future here.
Alex, you got to give me the 4-on-1. What are some of the things you like to do off the ice, some hobbies, maybe some fishing? There's obviously a lot to do in this area.
Yeah, I wish I would be more active, like outdoors.
Just chill, eh?
But I know if you get too much sun, you're not going to be at your best the next day. But yeah, you have sun as much as you want, but I'm pretty, like, quiet guy. I stay a lot at home and play video games, just hang out at home trying to get ready for the games.
So you're an all-star, so is your new teammate Matthew Tkachuk, and wanted to ask you about the impact he's made on the team from a physical standpoint. He's been scoring like crazy this season. I know you guys lost Huberto in exchange for him, but he's made a really big impact on the team so far this year.
Yeah, he's one of a kind person and a player at the same time. So you got a lot in that one guy. He's ever since he got here, it feels like he came back home and where he belonged. So he's been huge for us, and he's doing everything right, and he's leading the team the right way every night, every practice, every even days off. Like, he's bringing everyone together in the team, so he's doing unbelievable job with that. And I know it's been like 4 months, but I feel like I've known him for 10 years.
Very cool.
I want to talk about a surprise from the Panthers this year, at least for me. Brandon Montour is having a great year. Is these captain pep talks you have in the locker room that got him to go to this next level?
No, I don't think so. He's always he's always had that potential. Like, he's been an unbelievable skater. He skates so well. He saves a lot of energy with that. And he's really offensive-minded. Not cheating, but he's really good offensively. He can make plays. He can always join the rush, and he shoots the puck well. He sees the ice well. So he has everything what's needed, and this year has been really, really good for him. And of course, you can even expect more from him.
So I'm buddies with the Delp doctor, Zach Delpy. I told him I was interviewing you today. He just had nothing to say, and then in 3 seconds, I found out a lot about you. So he's got to do some better homework on Sasha Barkov. So I know you're fluent in three different languages. We talk about Matthew Tkachuk. Have you taught him a bit how to chirp in, like, Russian and Finnish?
Not yet. He's had enough chirping in English. I don't think he needs two more languages.
So on the ice, just to piggyback off that, because you're fluent in all three, do you use the different languages to talk to players out there, or are you like a quiet guy?
Yeah, I mean, I've had during my career like Russian line mates, yeah. Finnish line. I'm playing with Anton Lundell yeah. right now. He's Finnish, so we talk a lot of Finnish, and of course English too. You need that sometimes. And yeah, I use all those three languages pretty much every day, so that's why I don't forget any of them.
You mentioned your line mates. As of January 1st, your offense looks a lot like the offense from last year when you guys were scoring 4 goals a game and stuff like that. What has the chemistry been like lately with Lindell? You mentioned you guys have a connection, and also Sam Reinhart. Seems like you guys are hot right now.
Yeah, I don't want to say we're hot right now, because that's exactly like what we need to expect every night.
Right.
I really like to play with those two guys. Like, both really smart players. They know what they can read off me a lot. I can read off them. I know where they're gonna go, and at the same time, like, we talk a lot. We think about the game same way. So it's easy to play with those guys, and they make my life really easy.
So you speak three languages, might have to add four, maybe a little French with Anthony Duclair on the verge of coming back. Can you talk about the impact he's going to have when he makes his return?
Yeah, he's already had impact. Like, he's been skating sometimes with the team, morning skates and practices, and he even came to couple of road trips with us, and you can definitely feel his presence like around the team. He makes everyone happy. He's one of a kind guy, like, to have in the team. He brings the joy in the team. Like, everyone loves him. He loves everyone, and we're really excited to see when he comes back.
And Sasha, you meant obviously a lot to Finnish hockey in general, and still do, and grew up in Finland. Who are some of your idols? You know, I went to Finland a couple years ago. I had the best time in Scandinavia, by the way. But like 2 seconds in, stop at a pit stop, and there's the Teemu Selänne jersey, which is the most cliche thing ever, but it just shows you how truly big he is there, right?
Yeah, he's for sure. He's the biggest in Finland right now, and probably will always be. Right now there's a lot really good NHL players like Rantanen, Laine, Aho, all those guys. Like, I can go on and on, but hockey is really big in Finland, like Canada, and everyone loves it and everyone follows it. So Teemu Selänne is for sure the biggest one.
So you guys, the Panthers, are locked into a big playoff race right now with Pittsburgh, Washington, Buffalo, another high-scoring offense like yourself. The Islanders just made a big trade. What's this playoff push going to be like for you guys? And you guys have played meaningful hockey for many years now. You feel like you guys are equipped, especially with the adjustments with your new coach, Paul Maurice. You feel like you guys are maybe about to peak at the right time here?
Yeah, I know. It's at the end of the day, it's going to be all about us. We don't want to look at what other teams do and how they are in the standings and if they won that game or no. Like, it's not about them. It's all about us. And I think we've been taking a lot of good strides last maybe month, in this, like, January or even a little bit in December. Like, I feel like we've been playing a lot better. We've been working a lot harder. And when you work a lot harder, you deserve a lot more good things. And when you do the smart way, you're going to win.
Nick set me up with the Finland question because I have a question for you, because these fans are just on top of the league. Sebastian Aho having a great year, Mika Rantanen always having a great year. So talk to me a little bit about how excited you are for the future, because every World Juniors, I know, an important tournament for you. You broke records for Finland there, just being the youngest player. So the World Juniors come around, Finland's competing every single year. As a Canadian, they're the team I'm probably most scared to play. So talk to me about the growth of hockey there.
Yeah, it's actually a lot of fun to see how Finland is not the biggest country, and it probably doesn't have the most hockey players out of, like, maybe Canada, Russia, USA, even Sweden. They have more hockey players there, but somehow they always find a way to make it to the final, to compete for the goal. And that's every time Finland goes to the tournament, their goal is to win and game at a time, and they play really well as a team. And that's probably the biggest thing. They play as a team and play for each other, and they defend well. They always had really good goalies and really defensive minded players, and that's how they win.
Sasha, lots on the line over the next couple of days, the skills competition, the All-Star game, obviously representing Team Atlantic. Who are you looking forward to playing with? Just give us a bit of a scene setter over the next couple of days. What event are you in, by the way?
I'm gonna be in accuracy shooting.
Okay.
I guess I have to practice a little bit to hit the right spots, and I'm just, like, overall excited about the whole weekend. I don't know who I'm gonna play with. That's not my decision, and I think anybody in this like Atlantic team, I would play with anyone. I would love to play with anyone, and just to meet them and talk to them, and it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Alexander, thanks so much for joining us today, and looking forward to, you know, watching you this weekend and your teammate Matthew Tkachuk and getting to know this area. What's your favorite thing to do before we let you go in this area as a player?
You don't go too much to the beach when the season's on, but this week I've been on the beach every day, and I got, like, sunburned a couple of days ago. Thankfully, it's all gone. So, yeah, that's definitely one of the best things to do.
Awesome. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Guys, nothing but the hits here on the podcast. Just had DB on. Happy to bring in now Pete Blackburn. You heard him last week. Finally, the Bruins won a game since he came on air. It was like the Blackburn curse for three games. What's going on, Pete?
Not much. Happy to be here. Happy the Bruins are back in the win column.
Of course, from Bally Sports. Has your opinion on the Bruins changed in the last week since we last spoke on this podcast?
Oh, come on. I mean, they lost three games in a row for the first time this season. Three games in 4 days against three quality opponents. We got a big sample of that team being really good this year. And I'm not ready to hit the panic button after 1 week of turbulence.
It did get me thinking, though, Pete, beyond this season, what's the Bruins roster going to look like? David Pastrnak's in a contract year, 1 year deal for Bergeron, 1 year deal for Krejci. Those guys might retire whether they win or lose, right? Like, you don't know. So what's your level of confidence in the Bruins contending beyond this season? I wanted to ask you, because they do still have McAvoy, of course, but not a ton of elite prospects in the pool.
Well, I mean, first and foremost, to answer that question, I'll wait until David Pastrnak signs an extension.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
If they lose David Pastrnak, the outlook changes quite a bit for that team. But
definitely.
I would also say that a big reason why I wanted them to be in on Bo Horvat was to solidify that center position beyond this season. And now that he's presumably off the board, unless he gets flipped again, which would be absolutely insane, I think that they're in a tougher spot. Like, that's why I love Bo Horvat for that team beyond this season. Maybe they go out and get, like, a Sean Monahan. That might make sense as a potential option down the middle. But I think that if you're talking about this team in the long term or beyond this season, the center position is a serious issue or a serious area of concern when you have Bergeron and Krejci as massive question marks. So I don't think you can win without center depth in this league.
Right.
So if that remains a question mark and those two guys are not here next year, they're in trouble for sure.
Okay, listen, PB, I'm calling you PB right now because there's too many Petes at this table right now, so I got to distinguish. I got two questions for you. One's kind of fun. One's a serious hockey question. I got to start off with Brad Marchand's Twitter. I need live reactions right now.
So I saw what happened with him this week, and it was a weird case of, like, not understanding what the hell was going on there, because it seemed like a lot of the time he likes to stir the pot on Twitter, which I totally get. He's Brad Marchand. But usually he has a reason to kind of be a little surly. This time around, it was like just being a brat for the sake of being a brat. And I didn't really understand it, but maybe he was just a little angry. Maybe he lost a little bit of sleep this week and he decided to take it out on people on Twitter. I don't know.
Brad Marchand, if there's any chance you're listening to this, I dare you to roast me on Twitter. Please do it. But my hockey question for you right now is Pavel Zacha. Great game for him last night against the Maple Leafs. Were you expecting this from him? I know a lot of people in New Jersey were kind of off on him before he went to Boston.
Yeah, so that's been my biggest takeaway from the Pavel Zacha thing is I didn't pay super close attention to him in New Jersey, but I knew that Devils fans really didn't like him. And I don't know if it was because he was a victim of expectations, being such a high draft pick. But what I've seen from Zacha this year has been he always has an impact whether he's getting on the score sheet or not. Like, there was a point in the season where he went, I think, like around 15 games without scoring a goal. And when he finally got on the board, I was like, oh, wow, I didn't even realize that he hadn't scored in 15 games because he was still making an impact. And one guy that I kind of compare him to, who kind of skates by with that, is Taylor Hall. Like, Taylor Hall has had a rough stretch in Boston this year, and he's had an impact, but, like, a guy like Taylor Hall, you really want him to score for your team. You really want him to contribute offensively. Pavel Zacha, I don't know if he has the same expectations, but he is constantly bringing something to the table on any given night, and I've been really impressed. That being said, I don't know if they needed to offer him that contract extension, but I think that they've been impressed. I've been impressed with what he's brought to the table on any given night.
Unfortunately, this is not a Boston Bruins podcast, so we have to deviate and stretch from that.
I'll turn it into one if I can.
Yeah, I know you. Exactly. But there's a route you can go. The Eastern Conference, obviously, it's been Boston's to lose all season long. Who are some threats? Like, obviously, Carolina comes to mind. It's been pretty tight with the Leafs this season. I never can discount the Tampa Bay Lightning among other teams, right?
Yeah, I mean, those are the big three in my mind, in Carolina especially. And I know Dennis just said that Ryan O'Reilly would be a great fit in Carolina. I 100% agree with that. Like, I 100% think that they need to upgrade the 2C position. I don't know if Jesperi Kotkaniemi is the guy, especially in the playoffs. Like, adding a Ryan O'Reilly with his playoff pedigree is makes them an infinitely more dangerous team. And I think that over the past couple of weeks, we've seen how good Carolina is and can be when they have some finish to their game. So I think that they probably want to solidify the 2-seed. They probably want to add a little bit of goal scoring. I don't know if they do it in a package deal, but a guy like Vladimir Tarasenko makes a lot of sense for that team too, where, you know, this team generates a ton, and they always have. They're a great possession team. They're a great shot generation team, but the finish hasn't been there for a large portion of this year. If they can upgrade that and they can get a little bit more finish to their game and they can get decent goaltending that will hold them through in the playoffs, I think they have as good a chance to win the Stanley Cup as anybody.
One team that has better than decent goaltending, the New York Islanders, just bolstered their forward group, as you alluded to with Bo Horvat. Where do you see them either entering the chat, or do you think they still don't have enough to make the playoffs? Because between them, the Buffalo Sabres, the Florida Panthers, All-Star Game host, All-Star Weekend, they're all going to be in play for maybe one spot at best if either the Penguins or the Caps fall out, Pete.
Yeah, I mean, any team with elite goaltending has a shot. It puts you in the discussion if you got elite goaltending, and they do. I think that they were more than one Bo Horvat away from really completing what they needed to. I don't take them seriously as like a legitimate Stanley Cup contender, but they could be one of those teams that sneaks into the playoff picture and is a real disruptor in the first round for a team, mm-hmm. because goaltending gets you where you need to go in this league. And if you got good goaltending and you can keep the puck out of the back of your net, you've got a chance. I don't love the Bo Horvat trade because, again, I think they were more than one Bo Horvat away from really solving their problems. And mm-hmm. I think that it was essentially the most boring outcome for a Bo Horvat trade in season, where we were all expecting him to go to a true contender and really bring them home. And I don't think he does that in Long Island. But that being said, I'm not counting out the Islanders as a team that could play the role of disruptor this year.
Listen, we're in Fort Lauderdale right now, and they've treated us really well so far, so I'm going to give some love right back to them and talk about the hometown team, the Florida Panthers, right now. There have been a lot of surprises, some people who have been going through slumps that we kind of expected to do better this season. Do they make it into the playoffs? Do they contend once they're in there if they turn things
around? I think they get in. The thing is, you know, goaltending. Like, we saw Sergei Bobrovsky turn it around last year, and that hasn't carried over to this season, and I think that we expected a little bit of regression from the Panthers just because last season they were unreal, especially offensively. And I don't know if most people expected that to carry over. But the regression has been a little bit further than I expected just because of the goaltending situation. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect it to be this mediocre. So that I think at the end of the day, the defense and the goaltending, we saw it last year. They were scoring like 5 goals a game last year. And they flamed out in the playoffs because you just can't win track meets when it comes to the Stanley Cup playoffs. You'll get your face punched in, you mm-hmm. know, and it's physicality, it's defense that ultimately wins out in the playoffs, and they didn't have that. And I don't really think that they've got it this year either, especially with the question marks in net. So I wouldn't take them super seriously as a contender, but I think they'll get in.
I have two completely unrelated questions. Number one, how are those black jeans faring in this weather here in Fort Lauderdale? You don't have to answer that. And number two, I love trades. You know this. And I'm going to give you one of my shirts coming out very, very soon. Patrick Kane, handicap that. Where does he head up? My pick, Carolina or Dallas?
That's interesting. To answer your first question, the black jeans were a mistake. I'll say that. There's too much smoke, and it makes too much sense for him to not end up in New York. And just Showtime in like one of the biggest markets, I think that they need goal scoring.
Panarin too.
Huh?
Panarin,
right, yeah. So I think that it makes a lot of sense for him to end up in New York. And I know that it's the boring thing to say because we've been talking about it for like a year straight at this point. But it just makes too much sense for me. And ultimately, he is in control of where he ends up. So I think the surprise factor could very much be limited there.
When you look at some of the new markets that have entered the NHL in the past 5-6 years, Vegas and Seattle, Pete, from a big picture league standpoint, like, which team would you rather be? Is it Seattle right now after they've trended up this year? Obviously, Vegas's immediate success has been uncanny, unbelievable. But as of right now, it feels like Seattle, and they're going to meet each other right next year in the Winter Classic. Like, where do you stand on those expansion teams? And is Seattle upending Vegas a little bit right now?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, Vegas has trailed off a little bit, and I've been thoroughly impressed by the turnaround from Seattle. And I think a lot of people owe apologies to that front office group and how they – I think they made a lot of mistakes in the expansion draft, but they had a vision, and we're seeing the vision come into place now. And this is a tough team to play against. They play a really strong 200-foot game. Are they a perfect team? Absolutely not. But they're a team that is absolutely trending in the right direction and I think is going to be a serious problem in the next couple of years. And, like, Matty Beniers is a stud, an absolute stud. And if they can get – and I hate to keep talking about goaltending, but it's the most important thing in this league. And yeah. It seemed like goaltending was the one thing that they kind of had – really locked down after the expansion draft. They went after the guys and got the guys that they wanted.
Yeah.
And they had a seemingly a solid tandem, but that hasn't worked out. But I really like their 200-foot game. They need to work on special teams. They need to improve there. But the Kraken are a legit team, and I think that they could give anybody problems in the playoffs this year if kind of they have the hot hand and things go right for them.
You teed me up pretty perfectly there because I was about to ask you about goaltending in particular. I know you're sitting comfy up in Boston with Linus Ullmark having a crazy season, but I'm actually going to talk about Vegas right now, playing a new game that I just made up on the spot, guys. Fraud or not, Logan Thompson?
No, I don't think he's a fraud. I think that, I mean, we look at what he's done this year, and I think goaltending is such a fickle thing that, like, you can have a star goaltender who is a Vezina-quality goaltender 1 year, and then the next year just completely drops off and nobody can explain it. So to have a guy who comes out of nowhere and is suddenly, wow, an all-star, like, it doesn't make sense, but it does make sense because goaltending makes no sense. Like, that's the thing. I always defer to people that know goaltending better than I do because I like to have the self-awareness to realize when I don't know what I'm talking about. And I have no idea what I'm talking about when it comes to goaltending. It's the thing that I've never been able to figure out. So I'm not going to say that he's a fraud when he's an all-star and he's here this year.
Yeah, I'll put it this way, Pete. We talked about this in the preseason. Hockey historian David Satriano is here. Lefty goalies. When's the last lefty goalie that's won a Stanley Cup? I think the answer is Tom Barrasso in the 90s, man. So I'm just going to go off that. I don't like the statistics. I don't think they're winning the Cup anytime soon. So that's all I got for you, Pete.
There you go.
No, and goaltending's really murky out in the West. Like, even when you look at Calgary, like, we've been talking about how Dan Vladar is outperforming Jacob Markstrom. Like, who the heck would have ever seen that coming? They're paying Markstrom a lot of money. And early on, another rookie all-star out in the Pacific, Stuart Skinner, has outperformed the big money Jack Campbell from the offseason. So all these teams are, like, devoting money to these goaltenders that don't end up doing anything.
That's why I say never, never give out big contracts to goaltenders,
yeah,
especially long-term contracts, because it's you can't predict it. In the Sergei Bobrovsky deal, when you look at it, they had one good season of Sergei Bobrovsky, and they're locked in at a crazy AAV moving forward. So, like, even if you desperately need goaltending, it usually doesn't make sense to go out and pay for it because it rarely works out.
Pete, thanks so much for joining us, man. Twice in, like, about 2 weeks, man. You're awesome. Thanks so much for you're a regular now, and enjoy the sunny weather. We don't miss what's going on up north right now.
No, it's gonna be like -5 this weekend, so I'm very happy to be here.
Another great guest on tap right now, Dave Satriano, the Goalie Master. What's going on, buddy?
Guys, I know you say I work all the time. This is vacation for me, and I said,
you're
know what?
Working.
Got to stop by. I got to be on, give my 2 cents, and, you know, see how everyone's doing.
Davey, I got to ask you. Last lefty goalie to win a Stanley Cup was Tom Barrasso, correct?
I believe that's correct.
Okay, sorry to put you on the spot first and foremost, but the Vegas Golden Knights have been a polarizing story. We've sort of joked, I don't think it's funny at all, but I call a lot of people teams, players, whatever. You're on look with me, you're a fraud sometimes. The Vegas Golden Knights, my hottest take of last offseason, Pete can attest to this, was Vegas missing the Stanley Cup playoffs. Mark Stone back surgery now, as we know. They're 1-5-2 in 8 games since he left the lineup.
Right.
Your thoughts on Thompson, your thoughts on the Vegas Golden Knights moving forward?
Well, first of all, with Stone out, I mean, Eichel has, what, 1 point in, like, 8 games, 9 games? So he's going to have to step it up, especially with Stone out. Thompson was, as you usually say, a nice story in the first few months, but kind of you know, getting back down to earth there. We know the schedule is not going to get easy for Vegas. There's, what, four teams in the Pacific that are, like, 2 points from each other from first. So this is going to be tough. He's going to be playing meaningful games. Every team needs points. So I kind of agree with you there. That's kind of a guy where if you need a forward or something, you can try to, you know, trade him. I would.
Listen, Davey, first I got to say, I didn't even ask a question. People are always laughing. First, I got to say, no one was more excited to have you on this podcast than Nick Alberga. He gave you five shout-outs.
That's my guy.
Five shout-outs. I was counting while you weren't even here. You were just standing in the corner, so I just wanted to share that love with you. But I got a question for you, okay? I've been saying this for some time. I think the Washington Capitals organization produces the best goaltenders in the NHL. They have goalie tandems that go on to be starters everywhere in the league. Vitek Vanacek of your New Jersey Devils, I was kind of dubious of him when they picked him up because he wasn't that great down the run for Washington in his time there. And Ilya Samsonov of the Toronto Maple Leafs, takes on both. Which one do you like better?
Well, first of all, I'm surprised and honored that you talk about other teams besides the Carolina Hurricanes. So I just want to throw that out there.
Throw in the punches.
I mean, because they also have three nice goalies, as we know. But for me, I like the Vanacek deal when the Devils got him. I've never been a huge fan of Mackenzie Blackwood. I thought that he wasn't the answer, even though they've tried it for a few years. Even when he's healthy and doesn't get hurt, it just seems like they needed to go a different direction. I think they were trying to do a split this year, but Vanacek's just won 9-10 in a row. He's kind of taken over. The guys love him. They're playing great. And, yeah, as you mentioned, I would take him above Samsonov, but I'll be the first to say, probably not the only one, that I was surprised that both of the Maple Leafs goalies, when they acquired them, you thought, well, we've seen this movie before. Any goalie they get, they'll trade. He won't play well. But Samsonov, obviously the home record speaks for itself. But he's been really good. But for me, if I had to choose between the two, I'd probably take Vanacek a slightly down the stretch.
So when you look at the top leaderboard of the standings in the NHL right now, you see the cream of the crop, but it's not always meaning strong goaltending, Davey, right? Boston, pretty confident in that tandem with Ullmark and Swayman. Carolina, it depends on the week, depends if Freddie's healthy. I'm a little worried about them, even though I picked them to win the cup like Nick did. Toronto, always worried about that goaltending.
Whoa. Pete, I'm stopping you mid-question like Nick did. This entire panel picked Carolina to win the Stanley Cup over there.
It's just assumed at this point that you did, Anna. But to continue, you're not worried about Ottinger for Dallas. You're not worried about Vasilevsky for the Lightning. You're not worried about Hellebuck with the Jets, right? So it really comes down to teams like Jersey, Toronto, and Carolina with the goaltending problems. Who are you most worried about, Davey?
For me there, I would probably say I'm not worried about Carolina, mainly because they have three goalies. I actually still have Kochetkov on my roster because I'm saying, you know, in the next week or so, Freddie's going to get hurt, Ranta's going to get hurt, someone. So I figure that's a, you know, move for now. If I have to get rid of him, I will. But it was between the Devils and who was the other team?
Toronto,
I'm not worried about Toronto. Devils?
Not worried about Toronto's goaltending?
Not worried about the goaltending because they've shown, I mean, I'm not saying they're going to get out of the first round, but that's a lot of times isn't only because of the goaltending. But I think from what they've done in the regular season, they've shown that these guys have, I think, exceeded expectations. Everyone's probably, even Kyle Dubas is surprised about this.
Yeah, definitely. Matt Murray's hurt again. That's important to bring up, too. And that's an evolving story every year. And it's two games now. He was slated to take on his former team in the Ottawa Senators. And, yeah, he didn't make the opening faceoff, so we'll leave it at that. A team I wanted to get to we haven't talked about yet, who is so polarizing in my world because of their GM, Doug Armstrong, is the St. Louis Blues. You remember back a couple years ago, they were a buyer and a seller. Paul Stastny was involved in that conversation. I preach creativity. We all know I love trades. I think if there's one GM who could be creative this deadline, March 3rd, I think it lands on a Friday, which is tremendous, by the way. It's Doug Armstrong in St. Louis. I think they can do a lot of stuff here.
Well, I think they're 8 points out right now with the final wild card. They have some games in hand on the other teams. And you remember the year they won the Cup, they were in last place, January 1st. Yeah. They played better. They made some moves. But I'm kind of curious because, to me, I don't think Vladimir Tarasenko is wearing a Blues jersey after Friday, March 3rd. That's just my personal opinion. Yeah. Who knows where he's going to go. But Ryan O'Reilly, he's injured. I'm not sure about him. But I just don't feel like the Blues have enough, even if they make a move or two to even get in the playoffs, let alone, you know, win a round or something. So, to me, if I were a fan of them, I'd be very worried. But as you're saying, if I'm the GM, I think he's probably getting 31 other teams calling him right now because they have a lot of assets that they can trade away.
All right, if we're talking about trades, I got another one for you. Erik Karlsson, okay, a lot of rumors swirling around. Stay in San Jose or trade away?
First of all, let me say, I want to give Pete a shout-out because I know Pete loves Erik Karlsson, probably even before Erik Karlsson got in the league. And this year he said, I think he's going to have a really bounce-back year, you know, could be a Norris candidate. And I said, Pete, he'd be lucky if he scores 30 points and plays 50 games. So going out there, I was wrong. I admit it. I don't know if anyone thought he was going to be this good, but he's been amazing. And if I'm the San Jose Sharks, I'm not going to trade him. I mean, they have enough other guys they can trade. Karlsson, you need the guy, right? Who else? Meyer goes, Karlsson goes. Who does the Sharks have? The Shark Head? That's the only reason people are going to go to a game to see that thing come down?
Just to interrupt you, Jack, like, I think they're caught in a tough scenario because you can't move the contract. It's not happening in my world. And I preach creativity, but nobody has cap space. I think it's more of an off-season move. Number two, I don't know if you've heard of his name, but Connor Bedard's a pretty excellent prospect. And I think it's actually hurting San Jose to have Erik Karlsson, if that makes any sense in the world, because he's producing and they're picking up points. They've actually been pretty good as of late. Who do you think makes a lot of sense for Karlsson outside of the Ottawa Senators eventually? I think it will go down. It's quite clear and definitive in my world. Not that he doesn't want to be there, but he wants to win, and they're not going to win anytime soon here.
Yeah, I mean, I think if Erik Karlsson was on a team like the Winnipeg Jets, I know they got Josh Morrissey, but you can get those two guys. That puts them over the top.
There's
for me.
There's probably a
I
list,
think
though, Dave, and I think
I'm just saying
say Winnipeg's likely on that list, yes.
There's a lot of, you know, but if you're asking me, even before Horvat trade, are you asking me the Islanders are a team that could afford him, would they get him? I would have said no. It just didn't seem like it was, you know, the right fit. But you're right. The contract is kind of a big deal. And also there's a lot of teams that not only would they have to clear the space, but a team like, let's say, you know, like the Rangers, like they're talking about, oh, they're getting Patrick Kane, and who has, you know, the rest of this year. But, you know, with Adam Fox and the other defensemen they have, like, that's not a realistic shot for them. So I know every team wants him. There's probably only four or five that can actually realistically make this trade and make this work.
And when you're talking about Connor Bedard and teams like the Sharks, like, obviously everybody, any of those teams would benefit from that type of a lift, whether it's the Coyotes or the Blackhawks. It would accelerate their rebuild. The Sharks, all of a sudden, if they keep Meyer and Karlsson and then add Connor Bedard, it's like that would totally resurrect the franchise. When you look at the worst teams in the league, Davey, I know people can wager on that type of thing, who's going to finish with the worst record. Who do you think is the team that will finish with the worst record, whether it's like Columbus, Chicago, Anaheim, Arizona, or a team like the Sharks in Vancouver where they make more moves and they'll get even worse? What do you think?
I think, for me, I think Chicago is going to have the worst record when it's all said and done, whether or not they still have Patrick Kane on the team. Columbus, obviously, is, you know, the worst team right now, but I think they're going to, as we go along, pick up a couple points. Chicago, just every game, it just seems like they're just not there. They're not into it. They don't have goalies. They can't score. There's nothing goes right for them. They won three games in a row, and I'm thinking, like, this is probably the last time they'll win three games in a row in the next, like, two seasons. So, to me, Chicago is the team to beat. I think Bedard's going to have that Blackhawks jersey, Nick. So if you want to get the Twitter post ready with the jersey, Bedard, Blackhawks.
I'm doing it right now.
So yeah. That's what I say.
Okay, listen, we've been talking about so many different things, and we haven't touched on two major players who are at All-Star together, Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkin. Their teams neck and neck in the Eastern Conference standings right now. Who do you think makes it further into the postseason if they get in, Davey, Pittsburgh or Washington?
I'm going to go Pittsburgh. I actually don't think Washington even gets in, but let's just say they do. I think Pittsburgh, both teams have struggled with injuries all season, but I think Pittsburgh now with the forward depth they have, Letang, you know, healthy back playing, and Mike Sullivan to me is the best coach for the last 10 years who's never even somehow been a finalist for the Jack Adams Award. Every year, somehow he manages to get them playing well at the right time. I think they're going to make a move. Last year, they got Raquel at the deadline, but I think they're going to make, you know, a depth forward move or something at the trade deadline, get in, maybe win a round or two, and we obviously know they have some Stanley Cup winners on the team. So to me, Pittsburgh goes farther than Washington.
I like talking about disappointment sometimes. The Montreal Canadiens, we just talked about Connor Bedard and all that, and we talked a couple weeks back when Caulfield went down. I think the window to close and sell off on Montreal has passed, but like Nick Suzuki and guys like that, I think you have to move on from. Along those lines, Columbus, in your wildest dreams, and I'm sure you have some wild dreams there, Davey, I do for sure, Columbus, Johnny Gaudreau, man, like what was he thinking? Please.
Well, yeah, my wildest dream was him in the Devil's jersey, exactly. You know, going to Prudential Center, seeing him suit up there. Then I woke up and it said, oh, it's a nightmare. No, I'm just kidding. He's in Columbus. I don't think anyone expected this. You know, not that they made too many moves for off season, but he was clearly the biggest name, been scoring, but the rest of the team's not good. I mean, and let's not forget, my man Elvis Merzlikins has not been doing well. It's disheartening for me to see. The goalies aren't. I mean, there's a lot of problems besides the injuries, but to me, I think the biggest thing, Zach Werenski, like when he went down, I know the team was playing poorly at the time, but that guy's like the heartbeat of that team. He goes down, it's just really tough for them to recover. So I would not have. Columbus was probably team number 30 on like list of 32. You thought Gaudreau was going to end up in, but just quickly going back to the Canadians.
Yeah,
I think what's his name, Harvey Pernard. You know, I'm guys
Raphael
in bad with names.
Harvey Pernard.
Yes, he's got five goals. I picked him up the other night. He's got five goals in four games. Okay. You know, someone's got to score for these guys. So,
true.
Not sure how long that's going to last, but. Maybe he can add some juice to the lineup as we make the playoff push in fantasy.
I was actually going to, off these different conversations about non-contending teams, like you can find a positive angle on those guys. These teams will score goals down the stretch, right? Anaheim's been scoring goals lately. Columbus as well with Marchenko and Boone Jenner and all these guys like with hidden value. Is there a team, Davey, down the stretch that you're gravitating towards that is a sure non-contender but that you think can return some fantasy value?
I think you mentioned it with Columbus, but another guy, Kent Johnson, like, you know, mm-hmm. he was another high pick. I think he hasn't been doing as well with the points to start. But to me, Columbus is just full of those guys that not only will bring fantasy value, but the fact that they're so far behind in the standings, they're going to give these guys more minutes as the games go on, put them in more positions to succeed, which will help them not only this season, but as we get into next season. So to me, yes, you look at the Blue Jackets and say, I don't know how many of them there are in your top 250, maybe two. Three?
Gaudreau, Laine, Jenner, and Marchenko, I think.
Kirill the Thrill.
But to me, yeah, there's definitely some guys on Columbus, some of those young guys that I'm going to look at as the weeks go on.
Listen, one last question about the Columbus Blue Jackets, because Columbus is a great city, guys, very underrated.
I love it there.
I love it there, too. But, you know, on this podcast, I have my guys, right? I got Dawson Mercer, who first mention of this show, by the way. Mm-hmm. Andrei Svechnikov, Pyotr Kochetkov, and I'm adding a fourth one, Boone Jenner. Davey, is he one of the most underrated players in the NHL because he can go on runs like nobody else?
You know, before you started working at the NHL, Pete and I did have this discussion before because I always mention he's one of those guys to me that he does everything. Hits, blocks, goals, assists, power play. Like, he's kind of like a Vander Kane light, I guess. He does everything. Like, he fills every single category. And I know most people are in those standard, you know, five or six category leagues, but I'm in one where 15 offensive categories count. So a guy like Boone Jenner, every night he's taking off face-off wins, everything.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
To me, Boone Jenner, I agree with you. He's like, if you had to make a list of the top five, like, well-rounded, you know, category coverage guys, he's got to be right up there.
Davey, thanks so much for joining us, buddy. On your vacation, I should say. You're the man. We appreciate it.
Love being here. I want to give a shout-out to my brother because I kind of just, like, bailed on him to, you know, come here do the show. I was like, yeah, you can walk around. We'll. But we got our picture with the Stanley Cup. We recreated the picture we took in 1997 at the Hockey Hall of Fame with the high pants and, you know, the shirts. So we got that going. So
always fashionable.
Do you want an autograph from Bob Bender, the producer?
I think I might get one on my way out, yes.
Okay. All right, it's time to tie a bow on Anna's first ever All-Star appearance. Your thoughts here on All-Star so far, Anna?
I like that. I like making it all about me. It's Anna's All-Star weekend. We should change the signage up here, but guys, no better place I could have spent it than in Fort Lauderdale on the beach with my two favorite people and all the amazing guests we had come through.
Yeah, it was awesome. Talking to Barkov live doesn't get much better than that, and the weekend has only just begun here in South Florida. Thanks again to Alexander Barkov, Dennis Bernstein from the Fourth Period, Jameson Olive from the Florida Panthers website, Pete Blackburn, Bally Sports, and last but not least, David Satriano. So come back and join us here Saturday morning. We'll be talking about All-Star Game props with some more great guests. So for Nick Alberga, Anna Dua, Pete Jensen, saying so long here from Fort Lauderdale Beach Park. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. We'll talk to you next time.